Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community. I see a generation standing on the truth in each and every nation. God is on the move. Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, thank you for joining us tonight for another episode. We're glad that you have joined in. You know, I just wanted to point out our producer and engineer. I'm telling you, because without you, Jim, this would not be possible.
Have you seen my T-shirt that I wear?
No, I haven't.
It says I'm the sound guy. Be nice to me or I will mute you.
That is the truth. I have seen you over there just turning that microphone completely down when I'm saying something you don't like.
That's right. I do it to the pastor too.
I figured so. So we just really appreciate you. We want to be sure and we bring you up. We got you behind the board. And we like it when you chime in every once in a while. We appreciate that.
I am a veritable plethora of mostly useless information.
Well, that's all right.
Okay. But useless is not the word for our guest tonight.
Useless is absolutely not. As a matter of fact, he's not a guest. And we can't even call him a guest
family.
Anymore.
Shoot, I'm a homeboy now, yeah.
That's right. He's one of us now. We have Marlon Sparks with us tonight out of Perryton, Texas. How are you, Marlon?
Marlon's good. Yeah. He's doing very well. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, good. Well, you know, just kind of like we were talking about earlier, walking with the big dogs, I see, and you've been hearing about.
I ask a lot of people how you doing, and a lot of times these wild, fanatical people will say, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I go, yeah, well, you know, wonderful, praise the Lord. But I can honestly say tonight, man, I am blessed and highly favored. Wow.
I tell you what. You must be, and I'm sure our listeners are curious out there of what mm-hmm. we're actually talking about. You want to share a little mm-hmm. bit about your little opportunity you had?
You know, I do. I really do. Well, I have been teaching on the subject of walking in the favor of God for the last several weeks at our church and on Sunday mornings, and we call it walking in the fog, the F-O-G, the favor of God. So they know what I'm talking about when I say, now y'all go out and walk in the fog. So, and I take it from Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where Jesus said, from the Amplified, it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. He says, he sent me to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. And that is my very favorite scripture now around our church. Everybody use those that word profusely. How you doing, man? I'm profusely blessed.
That's what
so profusely
out to me.
Is a yeah, it's a great word, man. We looked that up. Boy, it's a powerful word. I mean, it means abundance, overflow. It's all this. Well, anyway, well, that's what Jesus said he came to do. So I was teaching on that. So I told the people, I said, now that I'm speaking it, teaching it to you, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we've got faith for favor. We've got favor faith. And I want everybody to become favor conscious. favor sensitive. I mean, this, if it's the smallest unusual thing good that's happening in your life, I want you to count it as a favor. We're going to start having, you know, favor testimony time. And people talk about this, what happened to me this week. And man, it has been, they just come rolling in. Things happening to people with raises and bonuses and things, just new jobs and all kinds of things are happening. So anyway, so I just got real sensitive to that, and I was going to make note of some of those things too. So, as some know, not only a pastor of this church, and I'm also a sports official and have been officiating football, basketball, and baseball and softball for many, many, many years. Well, you know, that's usually not a very favorable position. We sometimes get in some jams and get in trouble. People don't like us sometimes too good. So, you know, the only thing that we have for any type of reward system is like maybe you get selected to do playoff games, and you know your state association has to select you to do certain things. Well, it all started back in the first part of this month that I got selected to officiate or umpire the state baseball tournament in Oklahoma City. And so I'm like, wow, okay, that was, and I've done several, but anyway, but this year I really wasn't expecting it per se, but I was invited to do that again. And so I just wrote that down. Well, man, that's a big one. Hot dog. So I get back home and they have what they call the Northwest Oklahoma high school all-star game in Alva, Oklahoma, at Northwest Oklahoma State University. And they have that game coming up, and I got selected to officiate that game. And then a guy called me a couple, 3 days after that and said they're having the radio station in Woodward, K101. They have the K101 Classic. They have football and basketball games, boys and girls.
Oh, yes.
And, all that. So that's a big deal around the area. But this year, for the first time, they're having the inaugural baseball game of K101 Classic. And they called and said, would you like to officiate that game? And I said, holy cow, you guys, man, this is just wild. Come on, bring that stuff on. I'm loving it. So I just kept writing these down, and I'm telling the church about them. I said, guys, these are blessings for me. I mean, these are some of the things that we live for. We call these games for, to get, you know, to get noticed and to get promotion and advancement and all this stuff. And so I had my daughter and her and my little granddaughter had been here for, they were here all last week. So this past Tuesday, I'm taking them home back to Tulsa. And as I'm driving, one of my buddies who lives in Tulsa, he called me on the phone and he said, hey, what are you doing right now? And I said, and he didn't know I was headed that way. I said, you won't believe what I'm doing. I was fixing to call you to tell you I was headed to Tulsa. Let's have breakfast or lunch or something. Let's get together. And he said, well, I got a better deal for you. If you're really coming here, why don't you just plan on going with us, me and my son and some of his buddies, to the PGA golf tournament on Southern Hills Country, at Southern Hills Country Club. And I go, yeah, okay, this is a joke. Y'all are teasing me. It's not April Fool. What are you doing? He said, no, I'm serious. He said, he and his corporation and some of his corporate buddies actually rented a suite there on the golf course. And he said, we can all sit in this suite, and they get huge plate glass windows. We can see a couple holes. We can watch or get out and run around with the golfers and do what we want to do. But I just said, oh, wow, you're being serious. He said, yeah. I said, well, what's that going to cost? He said, well, it's not going to cost you anything. He said, if you were going to pay for it, it'd cost you $5,000.
Oh.
I go, oh, okay then. Okay. That's good. And I'm not having to pay for anything. He goes, no. He said, and in that suite, there's going to be, I mean, all the food and drinks you can, you know, eat and drink and all this, you can just have all that stuff will be just there. You can just have it. And I thought, well, and once I got there and went with him to the practice round on Wednesday, I figured out, that I was really going to be happy the next day when all those, you know, those, Cokes and or waters and whatnot and heavy on the whatnot, you know, was in there as well. And they said, we went up to get a couple of bottles of water, $14 for two bottles of water. Yeah, on the day we went, it was almost 100 degrees, and we were walking all over the course, and it was hot as all get out. But we got to see, of course, being sports-minded guys and golf a little bit. Used to golf a whole lot more than I do now, but really involved in golf, we get to see the you know, the most famous golfers in the world, and Tiger Woods was there and all this. And so, and then it continued in the favor because, I said, well, you know, I'm not, this may be my only opportunity to do this. So I, you know, and I'm a child at heart. I'd like to get some autographs to some of these guys. And now that's pretty tough to do.
Hey, that's pretty cool. So,
yeah. So I said, they have flags that they sell for the 18th green and PGA championship on them and all. And you can get those. And if you fortunate enough, somebody will come over, you know, they'll get off of the 18th green on the practice day and come by and sign a lot of autographs. So I got up there and I was standing there, and there, of course, I was surrounded by little kids about, you know, anywhere from, you know, 12 years old to five. I'm standing there in the middle of them. I go, this is going to be my only shot. I said, if there's a famous guy comes by here to sign my flag, they better watch out because I'm going to get in there. So the guy, one of my buddies had told me, he said, well, if you can't get Tiger Woods, and you probably can't because, you know, if he were to come up to the rope that you're standing behind and say, I'm going to sign autographs, you'd get run over. He doesn't do it, not because he's really a jerk. He doesn't do it because of safety reasons. There's a stampede of people that run over kids and everything getting over there to get an autograph because it's pretty valuable. But they said, if you don't get him, make sure you get Rory McIlroy. And so I just going. So that day when I found that I was going in there, I just said, well, God, you showed me such favor. I believe my favor will continue today throughout this whole practice
Amen.
Round that I'm watching. So I get up there to this, and we're on the 18th green, and they just putted, and these guys are walking up the hill to go up into the clubhouse, and the little kids are hollering. I mean, the first group when I get up there, they're hollering, hey, Rory, over here, buddy, hey. Autographs, please. Hey, Rory. And I look, and Rory McIlroy is walking right toward me.
Oh.
I go, this cannot be true. This cannot be real. Holy cow. So I'm standing there. He walks up and grabs a Sharpie out of his own pocket, and he signs a couple kids. And I pop that flag right out there over the rope, and he grabs it. He signs it and smiles and winks at me, kind of walks off. And I just go, good. Now, you've got to, Lord, this is insane. This is of all the people that I could get. And sure enough, yesterday, I don't know what he's doing today, but yesterday Thursday, he was leading the first round. And I don't know what he did. Anyway, so it was pretty crazy. And I just thought, God, the smallest things you delight in.
Yes.
And touching our heart. And it was crazy that day I went to Oklahoma City to do that state baseball tournament. I get out of the car and start to step out onto the ground. I look down, and there's 27 cents lying on the ground, quarter and two pennies. And I just start laughing. I just go, this is crazy. You know what? I don't know what we're all making getting paid for this trip, but I know I made 27 cents more than the rest of the guys that are here calling this game.
That's right.
This is pretty funny. and it's like the Lord said, you know, you could even delight in the smallest of favors. And I thought, man, I know 27 cents just started my day and lit my world. And I just go, man, I called those games, had not one argument, no trouble in the games that I did down there. No parent mad, no coach was mad, nobody upset. And I thought, boy, Lord, you are, it's a total miracle what I'm calling. I can tell you, Lord was taking care of me. So anyway, I just thought these verses are just—it's so neat. And I told my buddy, I said, you know what, I'm fixing to do all these free waters in this little suite that we're in right now. I'm fixing to put about 30 of them in a sack and go out and sell them for $5 a piece out on the sidewalk out here, and start my own business. They're like $8 a piece. If you buy them at the concession stand, I'll sell them for $5 right over here, people. Let's go. It's 100 degrees. They might not appreciate that. They might ask you to exit the facility, but we'll see. So we didn't do that. But, boy, we had a had an incredible time. And you always talk about favor like this. Favor, the favor of God will bring you in the presence of the right people at the right time, in the right place for the right purpose. There's four parts of that thing. That when the favor of God starts moving in your life, get ready for something purposeful to happen. So this was the spiritual part. You know, we had a lot of fun with the golf stuff and all of that, but spiritual part is this. So there was a lady there, one of the leading attorneys in the state of Mississippi, and she litigates the biggest cases, a defense attorney in the state of Mississippi, and God only knows what the woman is worth. She's very brilliant, very, very, very wealthy. And so she comes over to me and my friend, who is also a minister. And she says, so they tell me you guys are preachers. And I go, well, yeah, and some say. And she kind of laughed and she said, well, I don't really get into that stuff. She said, my grandpa was a preacher and said, I don't really, you know, cater to that kind of thing. I said, to God? Well, you know, I believe in God, but I just, you know what? And listen to this. This is how crazy it is. This is how messed up we've made people. Okay. She says, but you know what? There was a time in my life where I knew that Jesus says you can't, it is impossible for somebody to be rich and go to heaven. Mm. Boy, me and my buddy sat back and looked at her and I said, what? She said, well, let me just finish my story. She said, so I'd made a decision, as wrong as it may be, I made a decision that I was going to have to choose God over money, or money over God.
Oh.
And I go, you made a choice of money over God? So why would you do that? She said, because Jesus said, if you're rich, you can't go to heaven. And I said, where did you hear that? She said, I just quoted Jesus from the Bible. And I go, and you heard it in church, didn't you? She said, absolutely. I go, man, my family, you know, I'm so wealthy now, they think I'm lost for all eternity because I have money. I just, of course, couldn't let that opportunity go by. So
no,
my friend
can't.
Started laughing because he could see it get all over me.
Yeah.
And I said, so you just quoted a Bible verse where Jesus said something, which first of all, he didn't say that. Now, I will tell you this. He did say it's hard for somebody that trusts in their riches, that trusts in their money to go to heaven. He did say that, but he didn't say it's impossible. He said it's harder because you got so many temptations. You got so many, you know, things out there that can lead you off where wealth and when you use it improperly can lead you off some bad trails. But he said it's hard, not impossible. She goes, no. I said, yeah. So I said, well, what about, and here we go. I said, you want to have a, I said, hey, do you want to have a sword fight with me? Cause I'm loaded. Let's go. Pull your sword. Let's go. How about these verses? And man, I took off and I felt the anointing of God all over me. And I just said, you know what? You got it. What about Deuteronomy 8:18? God said, the God who you said you can't go to heaven if you have money. This God said, it is I who gives you the power to get wealth. I'll make the long story short. Every scripture I said, she'd look at me and go, it doesn't say that. There's no way it says that. There's no way the Bible said that. I said, absolutely. I'm quoting just like you quoted to me. I'm quoting back to you. It's God who gives you the power to get wealth because he wants to establish his covenant upon the earth. How about this one? Psalm 35:27 said, the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants.
Amen.
Not only is he not against it, he encourages it. She goes, it doesn't say that. I said, how about 1 Corinthians 8:9? Cause I'm going to personalize this one to you. I said, listen to this. Said Jesus was rich. Yet for your sake, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, you might be made rich. She said, what? It doesn't say that.
Oh,
every time she says that, her face is changing.
Blowing her mind.
And just, it's blowing her mind. I said, how about this one? God says, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. She said, who said that? I said, John did. She said, he didn't say that. I said, well, he did. I went to Psalm 1. I said, you know, blessed and happy is the man. He delights in the word of God. The word of God, he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf won't prosper, and everything he does will prosper. She goes, what? That's in the Bible. I said, you know, I guess they skipped those verses in your Sunday school. Okay, whatever. She said, I guess they did. You got to be kidding. I said, here's the thing. I said, why would God want people, when the need, the Matthew 25 need is so great, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, you know, the ministry to the poor and all. Why would God call a bunch of poor people to try to fulfill such a great role? He doesn't. I said, he couldn't. I said, look over behind you. Look over there. It's a huge church in the background over there. Look at that church and that steeple, that huge church. You think poor people built that? She goes, well, no. I said, well, how'd they build that? I said, it wasn't people that didn't have any money. I said, Christian people with money built that building. Now, she said, but what about money being the root, being the root of all evil? I said, didn't say that either. You just misquoted another one. He said, it says the love of money is a root of all evil. That's somebody trusting in their money. And she goes, oh, gee, can I not say anything that you don't try to correct and jump on me for? I said, no, no, because I said, God set up this meeting right here for me and you and my brother.
Right.
God set it up. I promise you, this is a setup for you, because I mean, she's worth millions and millions of dollars. And she just looked at me and she just shook her head. She said, you are messing me up so bad right now. You are in my head messing me up. I said, no, you messed up before you got here. I said, I'm trying to straighten you out. I said, this is ridiculous that people are told that if you have, that you can have money and God. I said, you know, money is not evil. Money is wonderful. It's a great thing. It's completely, but I said, really, it's neutral. Money's neutral. It doesn't have a voice. It doesn't do anything. It just lays there. But I said, it depends on who gets there and gets it first. The person who has the money and controls the money is where we have issues. I said, God wants to put money into the hands of people that are going to do good things with it. The same $1 million can build a casino or a house of prostitution. That same $1 million could build a beautiful church or support missions for life. Same money. It's not the money. It's a person who has it. And I said, what God wants to do in this hour is put abundance into the hands of faithful people that will love God with it, that will love people with it, that will do good with it. And she said, and her face would continue to change and change. And she'd just go, guys, I can't stand here anymore. I'm going to have to get away from y'all for a few minutes and go just get away by myself and think for a minute, because y'all have totally messed up my whole life. I said, okay, well, that's a good thing though, right? She said, man, I don't know. I just, you're breaking down some things in my head right now that have been in a stronghold. She didn't say that, but they were a stronghold in her mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Said that have been in my mind for years. And man, I wouldn't go to church. I wouldn't even think about trying to serve God. I wouldn't do any of those things because I knew if I did, I'd have to give up my money. And I said, well, you do good things with your money? She said, well, yeah. She said, I help, you know, I do not churches so much, but I'll donate to this group and that group. And I go, yeah, well, see, a poor person couldn't do that. Oh my God. Yeah, but not Christians, Christians and money. That's just so, boy, that's just so far out of my mentality right now. I said, yeah, in most of the church it is, because they're taught in church how evil money is and how dangerous money is, how how you can destroy your life with it. You know what? Which is true. If you're misguided, if you're misinformed, I say, if you don't have a giving heart, that's why God gave us giving all throughout the Bible to break the spirit of greed over us,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep us out of that and to let benevolence just flow freely through us. And I can tell you right now, God is looking for people that have a heart that will say, you know what, Lord, you can trust me. You could trust me today with $1 million, and I would honor you. I would honor the kingdom. I'd honor the ministry with that money. I mean, and somebody that doesn't have a heart that would do that. I mean, to me, God would know who money would destroy. I mean, if I allow $1 million to come into their hands, my God, they'll go back into the world and they'd start buying drugs again. And that could very possibly be, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be, you know, sanctified money and money with a mission and, you know, being given my money an assignment. That's what I tell our churches during offering times and things. Look, today we're giving our money an assignment. Your money that you earned all this week is going to change somebody's life today. And you got to start looking at your job like that. You know, you got to start looking at it as, you know, he said that we are working now with our hands. You know, Paul said, you work with your hands for this purpose so that you may have to give to he that needs it. But that's why you're working. You're not working for a living. You know, you're working for a giving. That's the purpose of you going out and working your job this week, is so that when it comes offering time, you're going to rejoice. That's when it comes giving time, you're going to be grateful. You know, Pastor, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be a blessing. Instead of, oh God, here comes old Buckus again. Oh, Jesus, great. Here it goes, honey. Write that check and have remorse and anger and grief and sorrow. You know, I said, you know what, sweetheart? He said that he will make you rich and add no sorrow to it. Because do you know most rich people that you know, are they sorrowful? She said, oh, they're miserable. I said, bingo. Because mm-hmm. their money's not sanctified. And they're not, you know, they're not consecrated to the purpose of the kingdom. I said, man, or they'd be excited and thrilled and happy knowing that they're touching somebody's life. I said, wrong thinking has just killed us. It's killed the church. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, you know, leads to wrong doing. It's just amazing how bound we become traditionally in so many things like our money. Just don't talk about that in church. Don't mention that. Keep that hush hush in the church. Well, it ought to be something celebrated. I make our people celebrate. Offering time is celebration time in our church because somebody's life's about to be changed. My life and the life, whoever this money is going to influence. I said, lives are being changed right now, and it's celebration time. So,
and what better place to learn about what God wants for your money than in the church?
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. I'd get glad for what I was sharing with her because I could see the changes it was making in her mind and rethinking some things. And even to the point of, I know we talked later, of course, me and my buddies, a couple of others joined us later and said, she came in here upset. What were you guys talking about out there, man? She seemed upset. I said, she wasn't mad, guys. She was enlightened. What do you mean? I said, well, she just told us that rich people can't go to heaven. And they went, what?
The scales have been removed.
Everybody in that room was worth a lot of money. And I said, she just grabbed her stuff and just walked out. Said, I got to go be by myself for a little bit. But I thought that was God at work in her, turning some things over. Now, what a great day when she says, my God, I think it's true. I can have God and money. Wow. That's amazing. I never knew that I could do that. Somebody may be listening to us right now. That's saying, you know what? I've really kind of stayed away from God. I've really kind of stayed away from the church because we have a lot of abundance, and I'm afraid they're going to want it and try to get our mm-hmm. money from us and all of that and have a bad attitude toward money. And that's just, it's a horrible thing. It's such a blessing. It could be a curse, but it can be the greatest blessing you've ever had in your life to have, you know, sanctified money that's blessing humanity. And if that's your heart and your mentality, let me tell you something. There's nothing that can be restrained from you. I really don't. I really believe that's the truth. That financial abundance, there is no limitation to what God would bring into the hands of somebody that's faithful with an actual heart. This is when it comes, this belongs to you. You know, God, this is yours. This is your money. Where's it going? What do you want me to do with it?
And you know, this makes me think.
Directed.
Yes, and it makes me think of, gosh, I got so many things going through my head, but it makes me think of,
right.
He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. And
see?
And that's what it is, you know, you were talking about the, you know, some people may be destroyed with a whole bunch of money, but you know what? Okay, then let's start being faithful with what you got.
Like 27 cents you find on the ground.
That's right. Like 27
cents.
Thank
you very much. You know, somebody asked, one of my sons asked me one time, there was a penny laying on the ground, and I reached out and picked it up, and one of my sons said, you're going to pick that up? That's nasty. I said, hey, what if I give that? Hey, I said, if we quote unquote believe in a hundredfold return, what if I sow that? What if that's a little seed? What if that comes back a hundredfold? What have I got? You know, I mean, any seed sown, you know, there's an inevitable return on it.
I said,
don't ever look at money like that. Always look at it as a seed. I said, so it's nothing is insignificant, guys. You know, I'm not crawling on my hands and knees looking for pennies all the time, but just think of that way, that mentality about my money. That money's insignificant. Well, that $5 I got, shoot. You know, that ain't going to help anybody. Which, you know, the old song years ago, thank you for giving to the Lord, you know, that the kid gave whatever little bitty teeny bit of money in Sunday school. When we get to heaven, the guy says, you know, you gave that money. I'm a life that was changed because you gave. I thought, man, boy, if we could see that, I said, man, that dollar that I have, man, I could take that out and get a Coke with it, but those days are gone. I can't even get a bottle of water with it anymore, but I could do something with it. But I thought, boy, if I could sow that and say, God, I just thank you that little bit that it is going to reach out there and change somebody's life. Man, it's just, God, change our mentality, change the thinking of the church.
Yes.
To start thinking in terms of abundance, you know, for the kingdom's sake. I said to her this, and more keeps coming to my mind through this conversation. I said, you were raised in Sunday school, right? Well, yeah. I said, you know anything about Abraham? You know what she said? I know he was very wealthy. I thought, what do you mean? He's a friend of God.
Yeah.
I said, not an enemy. He was a friend of God. She goes, oh, yeah. I go, I said, God told him, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Do you know that the word blessed, when you say God bless you, you are saying God empower you to prosper. The word blessed means to empower to prosper. So blessed is the man, or empowered to prosper is the man. Anytime you see the word blessed or blessing, it means there's an empowerment there, a divine anointed empowerment there to cause you to prosper in some area of your life. So I said, he said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great. And you know what he said right after that? He said, and you will be a blessing. I said, that was attached to it. And I said, and you know what he did? And he was wealthy, wasn't he? Yeah, he really was.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, but he had a bunch of wives and this. And I said, forget that. Good night. I said, don't get me off the subject. I'm going to roll here. I said, don't bring up stuff like that. She was laughing. She said, but it's true. I said, yeah, but it's a new day now. Okay. So I said, but over in Galatians 3, I said, here's a great thing where Paul said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us because it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. You know why? Now listen to this. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on, and I pointed at her, I said, might come on you through faith. She goes, it don't say that. I said, listen to me. I'm telling you, you know, everything I'm telling you is Bible and it's the truth. That the blessing of this blessing that Abraham walked in of wealth, and abundance and power, that it might come on you through faith. He said, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are an heir according to that promise. And I said, that curse of the law was poverty. First curse there was given was a poverty curse. So to have a poverty mentality, I said, but you know what? I said, you can have a poverty mentality and have millions of dollars in your possession.
That's right.
Simply because you don't know the purpose of your wealth and what God has given it to you for. I said, so he's broken that curse over us. And this Abraham that you know that's wealthy said the same blessing that was on him that made him wealthy is on you if you're in Christ Jesus. Jesus goes, that's too much. That's too much. Man, oh, easy, man. That's too much. I go, well, you're going to get too much because I don't see you very often. I said, I'm going to give it to you while I got you here. And boy, it was, my buddy called me this morning as I was driving back home and he said, let me tell you something. I've seen you preach a few times. I have never seen an anointing on you like I saw that day. Good night. You were on a roll. And every time she'd try to say something, God would give you something to counteract it and just shoot it down. Whatever she tried to use as her defense against God. I said, man, you get home right now and write all those scriptures down. You get that in a mini book as fast as you can and title it something like, Rich Men Can Go to Heaven. I said, well, no, it's not a bad idea. That's an inspired idea. Maybe I'll work on something like that. But, you know, man, God, you know, God help us renew our mind.
Yes.
To God's ways of thinking. God is a God of abundance. God is a God of, you know, supernatural increase. He's, you know, in the Hebrew, he is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. He's more than enough. He's extravagant. His love is extravagant. Everything about him is extravagant as he pours it out in our lives. And, you know, Romans says, paraphrasing it says, if he gave you Jesus, then what would he withhold from you? Because Jesus is the best thing he had. If God gave you Jesus, then he'll give you anything. Because everything else would be less. If he gave you $1 billion, it'd be less than when he gave you Jesus. So when your focus is on, I have Jesus. Number one, I don't have money. I have Jesus, first of all. And now I get money. My money's in Christed. My money is sanctified. My money is in the kingdom. It's kingdom money for kingdom purpose. You know, operating in kingdom privilege, but with kingdom purpose. That I'm doing something with this thing. And we're going to evangelize and change and shape the world with the proper mentality of God's supernatural abundance. You know, and I think that's why there's such an attack that I hear it all the time. Guys will ask me, are you one of those health and wealth churches? And I say, as opposed to sick and poor one? Is that what you're asking me? Because I'm not a sick and poor church. So I guess I'm the opposite. I guess I'm a well and blessed church. Yeah. You know, well, you preach that prosperity gospel, and I always say there is no prosperity gospel. That's not even a term. They're just the gospel. And I said, but you know what, guys? Listen, everywhere the gospel has been preached in the world, prosperity follows. I said, you can go into the deepest parts of Africa, in the deepest jungle, and you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and go back, and the whole village or tribe receives Christ. You can go back 5 years later and see affluence and abundance in some capacity in that country, you know, or that village or that place, because when the gospel is preached, there's just a supernatural increase of abundance that goes with it. I said, it's just natural, you know, and I just say, no, there is no quote unquote prosperity gospel. I said, besides that, the first thing that Jesus came to do, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. And I said, that includes every, you said, well, that's just poor in spirit. No, it's not either. It's not what he was even referring to. Though it does, the gospel does cause us to be rich in spiritual things. But I said, he preached the gospel to the poor. And good news to the poor is you don't have to be poor no more. So there's something that changes and breaks in our lives by understanding our rightful position and covenant in Christ, and what, you know, the purpose that God has placed us on this earth for. That's to be a blessing in every capacity, you know, and every way, including, and definitely including our money. Lord, how did we get off on this? I had not intended at all to talk about this, but it just kind of came out, didn't it?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good stuff.
Y'all take a breath. Y'all take a breath, breathe, and say something over there. Man, holy cow.
You know, that, I mean, that is so good, and that is so true. I think it makes me think about last week we had HR on, and he was talking about knowing, going to a church that teaches you the word. Well, how do you know if they're teaching you the word if you're not in the word? And so what does the word say about these things? And go and let God show you what the Bible says about it, and don't always take for, take the word that you're hearing from the pulpit. That it is the word. Now, I'm just saying that's how we as Christians should be, is take that word and study it for ourselves.
Boy, exactly. I'm telling you right now, this is of no one person's private interpretation. I mean, God wants you to get this for you. So, well, that's good for you. You got it. He's blessing you like that. Well, I'm nobody special, let's say, to where you may not, I'm special and you're not. Man, come on, we're all on equal ground.
Well, then the Bible says he's no respecter of persons.
Right? Yeah, what God has done for one, he'll do for another.
That's right.
Where he's blessed me, he will bless you. And if he's blessing you, I'm getting in line.
That's right.
God, you know, obviously, God, you bless that person. Holy cow. But I know that if he blessed them, I know my blessing is you love me just as much as you do them. And I'm going to see the miraculous power of God operating in my life just like it's operating in theirs.
And God's not short on that. He's not going to run out.
That's right. And that's why when you see someone that is blessed, instead of getting jealous or angry or upset, revel in the fact that, oh man, get excited for them, knowing that what God did for them, he's going to do for you.
Exactly. That's why we rejoice when somebody gets blessed and rejoices like that. That's why we rejoice. Don't say, well, I've been going to church longer than they have, and they got it and I didn't, and get all messed up and jealous and holding grudges and everything else because God did something for them. You know, I had a family that used to come to our, this years ago, and they all moved away several years back. But I remember they wouldn't, I promise you, they would not come to church but about twice a year, and only when they had trouble. And they were either sick or the kids were in trouble, or they were not a very well-to-do family, but they would come only when they were in trouble. And I'd give an invitation and say, if you need prayer, come to the front door here, they'd come. And they'd usually be crying, and oh God, we're just crying out to Jesus to help us. And I tell you, invariably, either they would get healed most of the time instantly. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And just something would happen to them. They'd be blessed and go away. Yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, bless y'all. See y'all in about 6 months or whatever. You know, out the door they go. And I had people get upset about it. I mean, a couple of families came to me and they said, you know what? We don't get it. Man, we've been believing God for some stuff for, you know, for 5 years. And the things we're believing for, those people could come in the door, and within 5 minutes, they can get what we've been believing for in 5 years. What is going on? I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen such great faith. They know that they're going to receive what they need by grace because they didn't deserve it and they didn't earn it. Wow. They're going to get what they're going to receive by grace through faith. They're trusting in him completely. And knowing that it's going to be, if we don't get it, I mean, if we do get it, it's going to be simply by the goodness of God.
That's
not
right.
By our own goodness. And I said, that's why. I said, and you just said to me, part of your problem, we've been coming 5 years faithful. Well, you sounded like your attendance is earning you something. Well, it's not. You know, it's good to come. Thank you for your faithful attendance. But if you're coming for the purpose of trying to earn the favor and the blessing of God or a miracle in your life, I said, you have made the grace of God of none effect. You've fallen from grace and you've fallen back into the law, and you're trying to get God to do something for you by your much doing. That's not grace. You know, I pray more than they do. I know I give more than them. I said, you're trying to buy and or earn something.
That's
and
right.
I said, you need to become as a child like those people and humble yourself and just say, God, wow, if I get it, it's going to be simple. It's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because of you completely and entirely on you. And you know what? God honors that. And we get it. I mean, when our life is so Jesus-centered that we're saying it's all, you know, Jesus, this whole thing's about you. This is all about your goodness. It's all about what you did for me. You know I need to do things for you, but I don't have more faith in what I do for God than I do in what God did for me through Jesus. That's where we, you know, that's, I think that's where religion, or every religion in the world, basically besides Christianity, is you're going to earn something. You're going to sacrifice something. You're going to, you know, you're going to sacrifice a live animal. You're going to sacrifice a child. You're going to do something to earn what you're going to get from your quote unquote God. You're going to have to earn that favor from your God. I said, not with ours. I said, it works just the opposite. You can't do that. You got to come and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and see what God does in your life simply by you trusting in the goodness of God. See, under the old covenant, I like this. Yeah, you know, repentance and all of that. Yeah, I believe in repentance. But listen, under the old covenant, it was repentance that led to the goodness of God. And they'd have to sacrifice, and they'd have to bring their animals, and they'd have to do all these things and keep all these laws, you know, rituals, rules, regulations, requirements, all these things to merit the favor of God. So repentance would lead to the goodness of God. But Romans 2:4 says, under the new covenant, he says, no, we've had a change. Now it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm teaching now not repentance unto the goodness of God. I'm teaching now the unconditional love of God, the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And when you see how much he loves you, when you see the goodness of God, he's extended toward you and your family, and you didn't deserve it, but he loves you anyway. I'm going to tell you something. You'll repent. You know, you'll come and things will start changing in your life, and you'll see behavioral change, and you'll see habitual change, and things just breaking off and falling off of your life when you have a revelation of the goodness of God, not because you deserved it, but because he gave it in spite of you, just simply because he loves you. I'll tell you right now, you'll be like John that says, yeah, I get it. I love him. But I'm going to tell you something. I love him because I know he loved me first. And I saw the love of God, and I'm loving him back. I'll use that sometimes in church. I'll say, come on, folks, let's just stand up right now and love him back. Right now, let's love him and just love him and get God to do. No, we're going to love him back. He, of all the things he's done for us. And that's our life as a believer. It's now a life of, you know, I receive, and thank you, Jesus. You know, I receive the gift of righteousness through faith in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I receive healings, and I receive the blessing of God. I live in a thankful position.
Yes.
Of gratitude to God, right? Because it's
right.
All finished, the finished work of Christ. Now we live in a position of thank you, Lord. And boy, it will change your life and your mentality and the way you think about God and toward God. It'll, you know, as it was Andrew Womack that says, and you'll be more holy on accident than you used to be on purpose.
And that brings us back around to the very first point, is the favor of God that comes mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah,
and so
that's where
I
started.
Yeah, and so with that favor, you talked about there was four things that comes with favor, or the four things that you talked about that favor is. And can you tell me what those four things again?
Yeah, he brings you in touch with the right people at the right place, the right time, brings you into relationship with the right people for the right purpose. The right place, the right time, the right people for the right purpose. And that is the favor of God. And man, you can see it. I mean, you know, all of that happened this week, with all my heart, God went to any length to reach that woman. And look at the things that were adjusted and maneuvered. I mean, crazy stuff. Blessing me that was there in a position. I mean, with a wild blessing. But I was there, and God said, now, almost like, hey, I brought you here to bless you, but really this is why you're here.
Yes, this is part of my favor. I'm going to love on you.
Yeah, you're here to watch golf and to see all these great golfers that you idolize and think are cool, but you're here. The purpose that you're really here for is that woman, to lead her to Jesus. That woman with her wealth could change. I mean, dear Lord, you know.
So did the one thing I need to know is did the woman ever come back after she went off to?
No, she never came back. She told my friend. She said you I left that evening and they kind of stayed behind. But she said, you tell him that I'm thinking about it. You got me thinking. That's all I can say, because she's a brilliant woman. She said, I'm thinking about it.
That's all
you guys. You guys have messed me up.
The seed has been planted.
Oh, it's been planted. Yeah, that's what he said. Marlon, boy, that seed is planted. And he said, and to tell you that she loves you like you cannot believe.
Oh, that's
whoa.
Good.
Isn't that something? I went, wow. And he said, that's cool.
Yes, that is cool. So with that being said, would you be willing to pray for those people that are dealing with money in Christianity, whether none or too much? You know, just pray for those people. Pray for our listeners that are out there that they might be thinking the same way as this lady did.
Right. Well, that's good, too, because, you know, you that are listening tonight, you may be sitting out there without a penny and debt. I mean, you're under so much debt and burden and bondage and fear of indebtedness hanging over your life. And we know that struggle. We've been there. We've done that. Had that pressure. We know what it's like to not answer the phone because, you know, bill collectors are calling way back in the day. I get that. And you're under the bondage of poverty. Let me just say, first of all, poverty is not a blessing. Poverty is a curse. Okay. And you say, well, what did I do to cause it to come? Nothing. The curse came because of what Satan did in Adam in the garden. It didn't come because necessarily of anything of what you did. But Jesus came to redeem you from that curse. Okay. And if you, you know, and if you just are believing for just enough, you know, so, well, I just like to get out from under this burden that I'm in right now, this heavy oppression of debt. Well, you could do that. And just say, and you could have a break-even mentality. He's a God of just enough. Or you could just let the Holy Spirit magnify your thought processes and expand them to real say, you know what? I've never been able to bless anybody in my life. I've never been able to help. You may go to church and they'll do special offerings and you'll say, man, I can't even help. I can't give a penny. I don't have it. And it really weighs on you. And, you know, that's not God's best. God wants you to be able to understand that he has blessed you in order to make you a blessing.
That's right.
So I do pray that over you. I break the mental pressure of poverty over your life. And you've said, well, we've always been poor. My family's been poor. We come from poor people. Well, you know, my family's poor. Well, not this family. You've come into a new family, the family of God. You've got
that's
a new
right.
daddy. Who owns everything, okay, and is willing to give you the kingdom. He's willing to give you. He gave you Jesus. What else could he give you that's more? Nothing. So, you know, I'm believing for you today that you have a change of thinking. Your thought process has changed, and you just begin to think, God, you're the God of abundance, and you don't love anybody as much as you love me. You love them, but you love me too.
That's
you
right.
bless them, and if you bless them, I know you'll bless me too. And Father, you know, I just thank you today that I'm going to have a blessing mentality. I'm going to stop looking for what I can get. I'm going to start looking for what I can give. And it may be small. It may be simple. It may be, you know, it may be the penny that I found on the ground. But instead, oh, there's a penny. Let me put that in my stash. No, man. Hey, I'm going to sow that. I'm going to give that. Now, it sounds simple with simplicity, but I promise you, it'll start something in you. It'll start something in you where everything's not about you. It'll get you living outside of yourself and thinking about the needs of somebody else. And I pray right now for those that are sitting there with great abundance. I pray that their heart is quickened by this word right now. That they're thinking, you know what? I need to begin to live with a giving purpose, with a blessing mentality, and not a greedy mentality, but a release where God is directing me to places where I could be a blessing and lives that I can change. And you say, well, I gave and I got burned and I got hurt and wasn't recognized and all of that. Hey, you're giving with the proper motive. Your motives are going to be pure, simply to be a blessing to people that are less fortunate, where you are called and anointed to see a need, and God's blessed you with abundance to meet that need. And say, don't look around and say, you're talking to somebody else. No, it's you that God's been dealing with and talking to you about being a blessing in particular areas. And step up to the plate and say, hey, that's me. God, I thank you that you're going to use me for the kingdom of God. And my abundance, I'm believing you, Father, that it came from God and not from greed. It came from the blessing that you bestowed upon my life. And I, in turn, am going to be a blessing with that which you have given me. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that over people tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
You know, it makes me think of a saying. It's a teaching that I heard. Our prosperity is not measured by how much we have, but by how much we give.
Right. That's great. That's really the truth. That's it. That's excellent. That is so true.
And you know, and I think about our situations and our money, and it's not putting our faith in our money, which you had talked about earlier in the show, but not putting our faith into money, but putting our faith into God. But that can be on both ends, whether you have no money or whether you have a whole lot of money.
Right.
Don't put your faith in that money, but put your faith in God that He is going to be your provider and take care of you. You know, and anyway, it just, as I think about that, I just get really excited because God loves us and He does not want us to be without.
Yeah, and, all based on the love of God. That's right. All based on the love of God. Yep.
Yes.
Every bit of it.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's nothing by anything that we have done to earn it, but by everything that Jesus did on the cross for us.
That's exactly right.
And so
it's
that
all
means
instigated by Him. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so that means if you are a human being, that includes you in that plan and in that idea that God has good things in store for you.
Right.
It makes me think of John 10:10, that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life, have it to the full, till it overflows.
Right.
And so that's what I hope our listeners are encouraged by that tonight. Hey, Marna, we want to thank you so much for tuning in. And wow, that was a really amazing story, and I'm glad you shared that with us.
Yeah. Somebody needed it. I promise. Somebody's going to be affected by that. Somebody's life is changing tonight because of that. I believe that.
I believe that too. And if that is you that's listening, just receive it and take it and believe it for yourself and take it. Well, we want to go ahead and close out our show tonight, and we just wanted to remind you that we do have our website, which is SundayNightLive.org. We do have our past shows. And so, Marlon, did you know you could actually go and share your past shows with people if you want them to listen to?
What?
Yeah.
Well, I most certainly did know that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so if you hear something on the show that just blessed you and you know someone that would be blessed by it, share it with them and send it on. And if you want to contact me, we'd love to hear from you. But until next week, we want to say good evening and have a good night. God is on the